Time for a conversation about the IndyCar season, which opens up this weekend in St. Petersburg, Florida. A couple of practice sessions today, practice and qualifying tomorrow. The race is Sunday afternoon at 12:30, and on the line, on his way to the racetrack this morning, is Robin Miller, who covers IndyCar racing for Speed, longtime sports writer and IndyCar racing analyst and expert. Robin, good morning. How's it going down there?
It ain't bad. It's not as warm as it is in Indy, probably, but, you know, We're just happy to be in the Sunshine State, Ben.
You got it. There is a lot of buzz around this series this year, isn't there? New cars, three different engine manufacturers, and a lot of people feel that this is one of the deepest fields in terms of drivers that we've seen in a long, long time.
Well, there's no doubt, Scott, since the split that really, you know, drove a wedge through everything, that there's never been a better group of drivers. I mean, no doubt about it. The teams are much better than they used to be. Much deeper, you know. I mean, even though everybody's got new cars and stuff, that's the key is that we finally have some depth to this series. And there are a couple ride buyers, but mostly it's guys that are race drivers, like Rubens Barrichello, you know, got more experience in Formula One than anybody. But I think the fact that you've got General Motors coming back to battle Honda, and you've got the Lotus Judd, which is trying to also compete, you know, and you've got a brand new car, and you had the same car for 10 years. There's a lot of dynamics going on, and, you know, I just looked at USA Today, and the headline stories about Weldon's death cast a long shadow. Well, yes and no. I mean, we have to understand that, you know, sadly, it was a tragedy losing Dan Weldon last year in the last race in Vegas, but it's part of this business, and it's just, the good thing about it is it doesn't happen very often anymore. It used to happen all the time when I first started covering racing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to see him get, I mean, it really is going to be one of these years that everybody's going to be talking about all the things on the track because there's so many unknowns, Scott. That's the great thing. You don't know if it's going to be what's the engine to have, the GM, you know, with twin turbos or the single turbo Honda, or is it going to be Lotus going to make the best mileage, or and maybe sneak in and win a race or two before the year's over. I don't know. It's hard to say, but the one good thing about it is that we finally got some new things to talk about.
Well, you mentioned a number of these hot topics around the series, and I want to touch on one first of all, and that's the arrival of Rubens Barrichello. You mentioned him briefly, of course, 19 years in Formula One. How significant is his arrival for this series this year?
Well, I just think he's got a worldwide – I mean – it's not quite as big as when Nigel Mansell left Formula One after winning the championship in 92 and went to kart in 93 and became the champion. But it's damn close because this guy's got more starts than anybody in the history of Formula One. He was runner-up to Michael Schumacher a couple times when he had to be the B driver and bite the bullet and let him pull over and let Schumacher pass him. So he's a fabulous human being. And you can't believe this guy was a Formula One driver. He has no ego whatsoever. Just a really cool guy to be around. And he used to come to kart races in the 90s and stand down the first turn and watch these guys race ovals. And I remember standing there with him once and he got, these guys are nuts. And I told him the other day at Thiever, and I said, yeah, now you're one of these nutty guys running an oval. He goes, I know. Maybe I'm crazier than I thought I was. I said, I think you might be.
You know, that's interesting. And it also, you know, you don't hear so much talk about Danica leaving anymore, certainly with Barrichello's arrival. Now you've got Catherine Legg, a fine rookie. Simona DiSilvestro is back, among others. And just talk about this field in terms of the drivers. We'll get to the engine in a moment, but talk just in terms of the drivers and the depth that we have there.
Well, I think when you got, you know, you got Frank Keady, and you got Will Power, and you got Scott Dixon, and you got all these guys like Tony Kanaan and Graham Rahal and Marco Andretti and Ryan Hunter-Reay, that's the next wave. James Hinchcliffe's
sure.
The new wave with guys like J.R. Hildebrand and Joseph Newgarden. I just think we finally got a really good core of American drivers that could win some races and maybe contend for the championship, because that's what it's going to take to finally get this thing. I think to get the mainstream media back, you're going to have Rahal and Andretti become really big players. And I mean, this is the seventh year for Marco. It's about time for him to put up.
Yeah, he's overdue.
You know, this is Graham's fourth year, really, and he's 22, almost 23. So they need to step up. And now, you know, this could be the kind of thing. I mean, Marco's with a Chevy and Graham's with a Honda. So I like the way that we have Ganassi with the Hondas, and then we've got Roger Penske with Chevrolets. And you know, that's the kind of they've always had this great rivalry for the last 15 years in Ganassi and Penske, so now at least they're on different sides of the engine war.
Well, Honda's been around, obviously, for quite some time. Chevy is back, as you mentioned, with Penske. They've been here before and have won many races before. And Lotus is the newcomer, maybe a little bit behind in terms of the development. But talk about the significance of Lotus being a part of the IndyCar Series now from a manufacturer's standpoint.
Well, it's weird because they went and hired John Judd to build the engines for them. So Lotus contracted John Judd, who's a longtime engine builder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that's interesting is that we're going to have the Lotus livery. I mean, there's going to be some black and gold back on the racetrack, which, of course, is one of the great things about Lotus is that was always, when Mario was the world champ in 78 and when you had the players' cars and, you know, not quite the Jimmy Clark era, which was the green cars, but still, Lotus is certainly a special name in racing. I just don't see them having the budget to be able to keep up with GM and Honda, so they're going to have to maybe pull something out of the hat that nobody else has.
What about a little bit of change in the front office, so to speak, in race control with Bo Barfield taking over as race director? What do you anticipate there?
About long overdue, about time we get somebody there that knows something about racing and that knows how to, this Bo used to drive cars and doesn't want to tell guys that have been doing this for a living how to drive like Barnhart used to tell. I mean, they should have got rid of Barnhart 10 years ago, but having said that, I think Bo's going to really let the drivers know where they stand as far as this, no more of these imaginary lines on the track where you can't protect your line if you're leading the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be about the chief steward's guy. It's just like going to a Pacer game. You shouldn't know the referee's name. You go to a baseball game, you don't want to know who the umpire's name is. If they're doing a good job, you don't know who it is, and that's what you want to see. I think you're going to see that with Bo. Then we got Will Phillips, who's basically in charge of the technicals. He's the hardest working guy IndyCar's got right now because all he does is he wrote a new rule book and he's trying to keep these engines straight and get the cars. You know, the cars had a major problem with the weight distribution. So he's done everything. He doesn't sleep much, but he's really a sharp guy. So with Barfield and Will Phillips, they've really got some direction now in the racing side of the IndyCar series.
Well, let's move on now to this weekend's race. Obviously, it's the first race since Vegas when Dan Weldon was killed, and that has really cast a pall for a long time did over the series. How does the series, kind of move on and deal with that this weekend as they get back to racing?
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, Dan wasn't the first guy to ever lose his life, and there's like some of these people are still in shock that someone can get killed in a 200-mile-an-hour open-wheel car. So the new cars are much safer. They put some guards on the back of the rear tires so guys can't maybe ride over wheels. But that's not really, you've only got five oval track races this year.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the races are, road courses and street courses because that's where you get your best crowds. And I think with Dan, he'll be missed more at Indianapolis, I think, than he will here, just because he had such a reputation there. He was so good mm-hmm. there. He had such a good fan base in Indianapolis. I mean, obviously, St. Pete's his hometown, and they named the street after him. And I just drove by it, and that I think for guys like Scott Dixon, it'll be on his mind because I mean, Scotty went above and beyond and spent like 2 months with Susie Weldon. I mean, Scott and his wife and his family stayed down here for 2 or 3 months and just kind of tried to help out and just be there for us, which is, when somebody dies, everybody's around for the first week and then everybody leaves. Well, Scott, I mean, you talk about a good guy that hung in there because that's tough, It's, what do you say and what do? And he's got two little kids and it's a tough deal because Weldon was such a pleasant personality and so good with the media and the fans, and he's going to be tough to replace.
We've got a couple seconds here, maybe about 30 seconds left, Robin. I don't know if you can wrap up anything in 30 seconds, to be honest with you, but what are you going to be watching for on Sunday? What's the number one thing that you'll be keeping your eyes out for on Sunday when this race takes the green flag at 12:30?
Just how good the brakes are and how tough it might be to pass. And which engine's gonna reign supreme? Who's gonna lose the most engines? And who's gonna get a handle on the chassis first? You would assume it's gonna be the Ganassi Penske guys because of their depth. But I tell you what, Graham Rahal's always been fast here. Justin Wilson's always been fast here. I look for a surprise winner.
All right, Nicely done.
It was 28 seconds.
It was 28 seconds. You were right on the button, man. Robin Miller, our guest on the phone, on his way to the racetrack in St. Pete, who covers IndyCar racing for Speed. Robin, we appreciate your time this morning, and enjoy the weekend, man.
Okay, buddy.